This is episode 143 of Hebrews in Exile with our honorable teacher, Robert B. Holman Jr. and Sean Appleton. And in this podcast, we are going to focus on Hebrew Israel's ethnicity versus its race. Now, in terms of ethnicity, it just simply means the cultural identity or expression of the group versus its race, which focuses on its physical and biogenetic traits. So sit back and relax. We're going to expound on this issue. Hebrews in Exile, you know what we do. Let's go!
You're the creator. You make everything right. Give me more power. Give me more love, yeah. Give me more passion.
This is Rabbi Robert B. Holman Jr. and
Sean Appleton.
And this is Hebrews
in Exile.
Sean.
The Honorable Robert B. Holman Jr. Yes, sir.
We sit at these mics every week and welcome Kenya and Lamont Wright and Kodesh Israel. Thank you for joining us this evening for this podcast. And as I was thinking, we've talked about a lot of subject matter in the last, since we started the podcast. I don't know how long.
I remember it's February of 22.
Yeah. And, you know, we've shared a lot of thought and a lot of content. We've tried to be true to Scripture, and we've tried to be true to the historical content that surrounds Hebrew Israel. We've tried not to express opinions too much.
Right, yeah.
You know,
mm-hmm.
But last week, you know, I was really kind of fired up last week about this whole idea of how Christians see the Most High and how disconcerting they are about His name.
Right.
And that kind of took me off to a place that I didn't get back from.
Yeah.
And in that process, we had a gentleman who came into
the chat on YouTube. Yeah.
And really just caught me at a place where I already was. I was already lit up. We thought about that, and I thought about the subject matter that we were talking about, and I kind of, even if it's possible, I don't even know that it's possible to put the issue of the ethnicity of Hebrew Israel to rest. I don't even know if it's possible to do that.
Mm.
But I want to talk about that.
Yeah, let's do it.
There are several writings that are out there. One is called The Black Hebrews and the Black Christ. I'm not so much concerned about the Black Christ as I am about the Black Hebrews.
Mm-hmm.
And it's by Elmer von Flescher, and I've mentioned him before.
Mm.
In several writings. And the question is about this identity of Hebrew Israel.
Sure. Who are they?
And when we look at scripture texts, we know from scripture that, and history, that the created man in the image of the Most High is created from the dust of the ground.
Yes. Correct.
It does not take a scientist with a degree to figure out that if you're created from the dust of the ground, that your pigmentation is going to be brown.
Absolutely.
Or reddish or dark.
Sure.
Or black.
Mm-hmm.
All of our ancestors, and you know, you and I have come to a point where we no longer look at text as though it is foreign to us. We look at text and we look at the individuals that text is written about. We look at them as our ancestors.
Yes, we do.
And we don't look at it as a story
mm-hmm.
that's been told. We look at it as a historical document, a biography,
mm-hmm.
if you would, of our people.
Yeah. It's almost in the same vein as being in the United States when we go to world history or we go to American history and we learn about the things that are germane to this country, and it creates this sense of pride for the citizens that are here because you're learning about the things that happened in this country in order to establish itself as its own sovereignty from its prior, I should say, totalitarian kingdomship that it was a monarchy that it was under, and all the changes that it goes through. We go through and we study those things to understand and establish a pride in a country. And it's the same thing when we look at this. We just look at, these are our ancestors, and it gives us a sense of pride of understanding that, you know, when we read text and we're close to the Most High, and the Most High chose this particular group and it chose this particular piece of real estate, and we come to this identity, newfound identity that we didn't have, that even though in the diaspora it was stripped from us from what we thought was our history, goes way beyond
yes,
that
yes.
in establishing our kingship and who we are as a people. So it's one of those things that when we study, it gives me, at least for me, it gives me a sense of pride.
So when we look at history and the evolution of the created man, we know that the created man, from a historical perspective and from most and a lot of the modern day ability to map DNA,
mm-hmm.
takes us back to East Africa.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely, it does. Takes us right back to right in that Rift Valley where the beginning of everything comes from, right in that area, that Ethiopian, right. Kenyan strip mm-hmm. that's over there.
So, I mean, if you do a historical study, you'll find that the Most High created man in that portion of what we now know is the world.
Mm.
The continent of Africa is a place that is the homeland of melanated people.
Sure.
It is also true that Egypt
mm-hmm.
is also a place where you have the Egyptians were melanated people.
Absolutely.
So when we look at all of these individuals from creation to Father Abraham, you know, and somebody tells me that Father Abraham wasn't melanated, I'm going, I don't know what reference you're reading and what from what source you're coming from. And I really do wish that gentleman was back online with us tonight, because I like to educate him in terms of the fact that our ancestors and Hebrew Israel are melanated people and black people.
Who did you mention? I'm just taking a sidebar real quick. Who did you mention? It was Hitler's chief general?
Yes.
Or of propaganda or what, whoever that was. I forget the gentleman's name.
She shouldn't have said anything. I would have known.
By osmosis, you'd have wound up on it.
Yeah. Goebbels.
Right.
Yeah, Goebbels.
You tell something a lie long enough, and even Tex even talks about these individuals have come and taken your name.
Yeah, you know, and I want to talk about that a little bit tonight with some source material.
Okay.
There is this book by Janice Swinston, and the title of it is "Go Tell My People Who They Are: The True Biblical Identity of Black People." Mm. The Biblical and Historical Identity of Ham, Shem, Japhet, and Japhet's Descendants.
Mm.
In this particular writing, she has done an excellent job of providing not only the historical information, but also the scientific information that has brought us, that helps us to understand this whole archaeological and scientific issue of racism.
Mm. Mm.
And it's interesting to me that people don't want to identify with who they are. I mean, what? Mm. I mean, you know.
No, I agree with you 110%.
You know, Sean, we have gone. I mean, there are too many scriptural facts that support the position of the atrocities that have befallen melanated people in this diaspora. And this diaspora is not just relegated to the United States of America.
Oh, sure.
It's relegated to the four corners of the world.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
And in all the four corners of the world, the melanated man has been subjugated to European imperialism.
Sure. Absolutely.
And this European imperialism has leaked its way. And this is what one of the things that disturbs me the most of it all, man, particularly as I listen to the political climate and as I listen to people of color side with individuals who have a ingrained disdain for them.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Sure.
And I mean, it's like trying to rub noses with your pet lion.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah, knowing
that one day he gonna bite your nose off.
Exactly. Exactly, exactly.
And historically, that has happened.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Young men had them two lions. They was courting around as pets. You remember them. And and one day, one day as that lion turned on him.
We talking about the entertainers?
Yeah.
Siegfried and Roy?
Yeah, not Siegfried and Roy. Was it Siegfried and Roy?
Well, I know one of them turned. It was like one of them white tigers turned on him or something.
Yeah, yeah. See, and you know, sooner or later, they're going to turn on you.
Mm-hmm. Wow. You know, what it reminds me of is an analogy that I make. And it's this deal of, because I'm getting to your question that you had asked earlier, is why people don't kind of acquiesce to it. And the way that it makes sense to me in my head is it's like you've grown up, and I've used this analogy before, you've grown up your whole entire life and you have parents, and those parents have raised you, and you've, generally speaking, not every household is the same, but you've had a generally good house upbringing. And one day your parents pull you aside and they say, you know what? We need to tell you something. We're really not your parents. We got this DNA test done, and really this individual over here or these individuals are your real parents. Now, the average person would probably say, you know what? You've lied. Well, not necessarily lied to me, but this information is, but you knew this the whole entire time and you've kind of kept it from me. So you're going to feel some remorse, what's the eloquent word that I'm looking for? It's you've been let down. You're disappointed, but you don't disown them. You know, it's like,
yeah.
You've raised me. You've coddled me from a young infant to where I am now. You've given me tutelage upon which I've been successful, at least to an extent. But now you're telling me that my biological parents are over and I have to go ahead and establish a relationship over there. 9 times out of 10, granted, people will maybe make an effort, but at the end of the day, they're still going to hold their allegiances to who raised them. And that is what's happening to our people. The Christian church has raised our people. And so when they come into the knowledge, it's not as if they don't accept it. It's, but this is who raised me over here. And I'm not just going to abandon that because there's some good people over there. There's some good things that come out of there. You say so yourself sometimes when you said it. It says you don't necessarily throw out the baby with the bathwater. There's some good nuggets that are over there in Christianity. But a half lie is, you can't have a half truth.
It's a whole lie.
It's a whole lie.
Yeah.
And so you got to come to terms with the fact that, okay, these individuals over here are my parents. These individuals, for whatever reason, I got to go now and have a relationship over here and see what's going on. And people don't want to make that step because they're just so used to what they've had before in the past. So I sympathize with the reluctancy to actually establish a relationship with the Most High when you had Christ raise you your whole entire life and you seem to be doing okay. It really, unless you've had some type of trauma from the church or you've had something that drove you away, most people are not going to acquiesce. They're going to sit fine where they are, especially when you have a doctrine that allows you to do anything that you want to do, that doesn't give you any restrictions or parameters on life, that just basically says, I can do whatever I want to do, and if I mess up, I can go put it on this person that died for my sins over here, and I have no atonement or take responsibility for any of the actions that I have, especially when you have a doctrine that tells you you're exonerated from any wrongdoing, period. You don't have to pay for anything. Pretty.
But you see, there is a problem that we're confronted with. And, you know, and I tell people all the time when they ask me, you know, how you doing?
Mm-hmm.
You know, how's the ministry?
Mm-hmm.
And my response to them is, you know, we're purists.
Mm-hmm.
And we're on an island by ourselves.
Yeah, absolutely. 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 On this island, walking all the way around, like, and, man, you know, where is everybody else?
And the true point of the issue is that we walk in and at the behest of the Most High to be different. Mm-hmm. And the one thing that he called Hebrew Israel to do. He called her to be different, mm-hmm. and he called her to be the head and to be the leader and the teachers of the nations and not to be the tail.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
European imperialism has caused Hebrew Israel to become the tail because she has refused to accept the mandate that's been placed upon her.
Mm-hmm.
And with this mandate that's been placed upon her and her refusal to do so, historically down through time, and particularly in this diaspora, I have to say in the diaspora, because before the diaspora, we didn't have a problem.
True.
Well, no, that's not correct. That's not correct.
We didn't have a problem. Well, yeah, okay.
That's not correct. The diaspora is the result of us having a problem
right.
with the Most High.
There you go.
Not following his mitzvot and abdicating him and not wanting to lead, but wanting to join with the nations. And by our joining with the nations, it has eroded our purpose and our existence mm-hmm. in the world.
Mm-hmm. Even in a practical sense, from what we do on a day-to-day basis, why I asked myself the question the other day, why am I seeking validation from the people I'm supposed to be leading?
Yeah.
I'm going to work, and I work with generally non-melanated people. And even outside of work, we're surrounded in this exile by non-melanated people, and we're constantly seeking their validation for everything. We can't move unless they say it's okay. And that's not how text is written, because you don't know who you are. You, as a matter of fact, if you think about it, the jealousy comes into play because they know who you are. And that has been, this is so funny about our people, because it's everything that's in that book is manifesting itself even to this day. Even to this day. We got individuals over here, again, like I said, we're looking to them for understanding. We're looking for them to validate us when, again, we should be leading them at the end of the day. They will put things into place to make sure that you don't advance, because they understand the power of what's going on. And this is why I'm drawing back on this analogy to say the same things are happening today, because when you look in text, everybody knows, even if you look in the book of Yehudi, you look in the book of any of our writings, people will come and say this, even in the book of Shoftim. We know who you are. We know who your Yahweh is. We can tell you about him. We can tell you about the things that he's done. How come you can't? That's a sad commentary when everybody else knows and has systematically put things into place to suppress your advancement towards the Most High because they know. We lead the world in everything inadvertently. It doesn't have to be like, okay, we're going to push you guys out in this particular area. We just do it because that's a part of our DNA, because the Most High has created us to be a certain way, to be creatives, to all the things that we do lead the world in. And in every single instance, it's looked down upon.
Yeah. Let me respond. I'm going to respond to something there that Kenya has written.
Okay.
You talk about seeking validation,
mm-hmm.
and she says, well, maybe more like we have to work harder to prove that we are not inferior. Well, if I'm having to work harder to prove that I'm not inferior, that's seeking validation. I'm trying to prove to you that I am as good as you and even better. When in fact, I shouldn't have to do that, because historically, it is a known fact
mm-hmm.
that the Father's people are far superior than any other ethnic group on the face of the globe.
Mm-hmm.
And